Good morning, folks. It's July the 31st, 2019, the day of the company picnic. The day of the company picnic's arrived. Yep. July the 31st, 2019. It is Wednesday morning. It is 4 a.m. What the fuck? And I'll be heading to work in a couple hours. I couldn't sleep last night. I could sleep a little. I don't know. Just took a sip of coffee. If you're wondering what I was doing, this new digital recorder has a very good microphone. I don't think I've quite mastered its power yet. It's extraordinarily accurate and shit, so don't know what to tell you. Just finished watching the movie Endgame. That's the Marvel universe of the Avengers, who are superheroes who go through the universe fighting for what's right. Yeah, so what can I say about the Avenger Endgame movie? Well, first, let me say a couple things. Whatever deficits it had, and it had a few from my perspective, frankly speaking, because a lot of these frickin' movies these days, they seem like vehicles for some type of weird cultural Marxism. They're trying to sell strange messages of demographics and relationships, you know, so I don't want to go into all that shit, because frankly, there's a lot of shit about the Endgame that bothered me. I will say this, Captain Marvel, who... as an incarnation in terms of not the comic book, because I don't fucking read those comic books, but in terms of the movies, I haven't seen the movie yet, and B, there was a lot of hoopla about the de-intersectional, re-genderfied, cis, non-identified bullshit, frankly, none of which I give a fuck about. I've already given my speech on philosophies of your junk. For any morons listening, and folks, I don't know how much clearer I can make this. I am a radical supporter of free speech. I do not hate gay people. In fact, I don't really hate people because of anything you would see by simply looking at them. Although, it's funny, a lot of the really cool liberal social justice warrior types of Seattle do a really good job ignoring the human misery right next door. And there's a reason for this. It doesn't matter what you think about Trump. The reality is Trump's only been in office a few years. When you look around the streets and you see all the horrific bullshit of Seattle, I mean, put down your fucking smartphone for a second and take a walk on Rainier Avenue and see all the homeless villages. When you take a look around, you have to admit to yourself that maybe President Obama was a fucking disaster. You see, I don't vote. I'm not a voter. I'm not a Republican or Democrat. I'm an anarchist. I think all of you fucks are crazy. Even if voting worked, which it doesn't, but even if it worked, it would basically amount to some type of weird mob violence in a proxy mechanism. It's terrible. But the fact is, the voting booth is connected to nothing. Those little documents you get to fill out, they're connected to nothing. The fucking pamphlets telling you information on candidates, that's mostly bullshit. And I don't know. I feel like if I'm the first person to tell you this, you've lived a very narrow and ridiculously, I would say, closed-minded existence. You've been oblivious. And I use that word a lot these days because it pretty much describes everybody I run into, especially. So anyways, I don't hate people because of some superficial fucking characteristic. If you're stupid, it's got nothing to do with the color of your skin. If you're stupid, it's got zero to do with what you think your gender is. If you're fucking stupid, if you're unable to learn, or really what's worse, you're too stubborn to fucking open up your eyes and look past your fucking smart device, yeah, I don't know what to tell you, man. Okay? Times are gonna be fucking rough if you think the main issue that you confront as a human being in 2019 is the philosophy of your fucking junk. Anywho, with respect to philosophies of junk, and when I say junk, that is a common nomenclature reference to your sexual reproductive organs. When I say philosophies of your junk, I mean people that build a fucking political philosophy around their fucking reproductive organs or their gender assumptions or their fucking feelings about it, period. So the movie Endgame. Captain Marvel, who I know little about, did not see the fucking movie, am zero interested in what she represents or might not represent. Captain Marvel really made cameos, almost. And frankly, when she did talk, she sounded like a fucking bitch. You know, I really just said to myself, fuck, you know what? If I were Captain America, I would say, listen, you snotty fucking whore, we don't need your help. Now, I know there are some women out there who say, oh, Dan, you must hate women for saying that. Well, A, I'm not entirely convinced that Captain Marvel represents women. And B, no, I don't hate women. I hate specifically, and this is a learning point for you stupid people out there, and I'm sorry for saying that, but that's kind of how I feel right now about most of my fucking neighbors in Washington State. This is a learning point for you stupid people. I don't hate, okay, people because they're men or women. If I think Captain Marvel's a bitch, guess what? I've met men who are bitches. Holy fuck, did your mind just get fucking blown? In fact, one could argue at various points in our lives, we're all kind of bitches. We all kind of whine and bitch. It's got nothing to do with sex. It's got nothing to do with your reproductive organs. It is, in fact, a feature of people. People can be jerks. I don't know why at this point in my life I have to explain this to people, but I do, I do. Anyways, I feel like I don't want to say too much more about the movie Endgame. It had a pretty cool battle scene at the end. I'm not going to give away how it ends, although frankly, with a little common sense, you can figure it out. But it's not really a spoiler alert at this point. The movie's been out a while. It's basically on Amazon, so there's no spoiler alert to speak of. So there's a really cool battle at the end. I really do like that Thor gains weight. I think that's pretty funny. And frankly, it's one of the more realistic parts of the fucking movie. It's that, yeah, the reality sets in. People, nobody's perfect. Anyways, what else can I say about Endgame? I basically liked it. I thought it had some weird cultural Marxist messaging, especially at the end with the passing of the torch. I was really happy that Captain Marvel basically showed up to be a human torpedo. She didn't say a lot when she spoke. It was crappy, but I didn't give a fuck. I don't know what else to say. Movie Endgame. If you haven't seen it yet, you might as well, I suppose. But it's up to you. The superhero genre is not for everybody, folks. It really, really isn't. And as a Christian, I have to tell you that I have a lot of mixed feelings. In fact, as a Christian and an anarchist, I have a lot of mixed feelings about the concept of a superhero or a vigilante. On the one hand, I am very much a believer that one of the corollaries of the non-aggression principle, and if you don't know what the non-aggression principle is, basically it's this. As an anarchist, as a virtuous ethical anarchist, the only form of violence or aggression you're authorized is in your own defense, which means it's not really aggression, it is defense. So you're not authorized any type of aggressive violence. You're not authorized to use physical force to steal people's shit. For example, like the crocodile called the United States of America, you're not authorized to go blow up countries and set people on fire and steal their fucking oil. That would be called a violation of the non-aggression principle. But a corollary to it is that, yeah, not only do you have a right to defend yourself, you kind of have an obligation. You know, we have an obligation. So when it comes to vigilantes, on the one hand, I kind of respect this idea of people taking care of their own shit and not hoping for magical crocodiles called government. It is cool to see people taking care of shit. And frankly, in a free world, there will still be assholes. Now, the surveillance effect of human-scale society, meaning communities that are not millions of people but are hundreds or thousands of people, the surveillance effect of human-scale societies in a free world is that it would make it harder for sociopaths and psychopaths and human predators to get by. But there always will be a few, and so, yeah, I can imagine in a free world you'd have vigilantes. And if the vigilante became the bully, I think somebody would rise up to destroy that person. But the point is, yeah, you'd have them. I joke about it with Dr. Freckles' Global Tontine Club and the whole Enforcer Squad Zeta, but the fact is, in a free world, you will have bad people. In a free world, I think most people will be basically decent to each other. So in a free world, vigilantes might not even be necessary because voluntary communities will most likely participate in voluntary self-defense. That's all I want to say about Endgame. And as far as my comments about stupid people, here's where that's coming from before I go to the next topic. Whatever you want to say about the world climate, and again, I don't want to get into this whole subject of whether they're lying to us. If they're lying to us about everything, then we know nothing. And so any conversation that any of us would have about the nature of the universe or the nature of our jobs is all going to be based upon anecdotal evidence and logic. Everyone has a perspective. Everyone has an experience. But correlating all that in the current culture of narrative weaving and propaganda taken to the nth degree, we live in a highly propagandized society. A lot of Americans don't get this. You know, Noam Chomsky once said that, as counterintuitive as this may sound, in a democracy, the propaganda machine actually has to be much better. You don't need a really good propaganda machine in an old-style 20th century dictatorship. You use a lot of force and fear, and so the propaganda is mostly just frosting. But in a democracy, quote-unquote, if we think we're one of those, you need a lot of propaganda. You need actually really smart propaganda. And we're inundated with it. So, yeah, I look around at my fellow Seattleites, and I look at, you know, the assumptions I can make and what I can see with my own eyes. If I'm to believe what I'm told about the orca whales in the Puget Sound, that they're basically either dying off or going away, and what I can see with my own eyes leads me to believe, what I have experienced, is that the ecosystem of the Puget Sound is collapsing. I cannot speak for fucking other places in the U.S. Maybe where you're at, everything's fucking fine. But I grew up in this fucking state, so if you want to tell me that the weather's normal, you stupid fuck who just showed up as an H-1B visa from fucking Bangalore, go shut the fuck up. This may seem normal to you because you're coming from a third world country, or a second world country, or a developing country, but actually, the Puget Sound didn't used to be a giant fucking garbage pail. So when I say stupid people, I don't mean racist bullshit, and even the H-1B visa stuff, I don't hate Indian or Chinese or Russian people because they took my jobs. Actually, I know the whole thing's a fucking scheme. And frankly, I'm employed because most of the fucking code they write is shit. And so they have to have people like me. They don't have a choice. Once you realize that, you realize how I can basically tell the whole fucking software community of Seattle to fuck off. And I've done it. And I've recorded it. I've got proof. And even in the shitty economy, I'll still get a job. And it's not complicated. It isn't that I'm a super genius computer programmer. No, that's not the case. It just happens to be the case that there are a lot of really shitty computer programmers out there who are, because of cultural Marxist reasons, promoted and given authority. So yeah, until this society grinds to a halt, until all the poisonous shit we've done to the ecosystem comes back to haunt us, until Kurt Vonnegut's 12-foot-tall lamprey from that short story I love, The Big Space Fuck, show up at your fucking door, the 12-foot-tall fucking hagfish, until that day comes, I'll fucking be able to get a job. I could show up to work drunk at Willy Wonka's, and I would still be more competent than most of the people working there. Wake the fuck up. And what's most important, folks, it isn't because I'm special. Yeah, that's the part you need to fucking process. There is zero special about me. So once you start putting those numbers into your fucking head and working out your heuristic engine, what you're led to believe is shit is falling apart. But when I call people stupid, I'm not talking about the fact that they write shitty code. I'm talking about the fact that the life systems, the air, the water, and the soil systems that support life in the Puget Sound are collapsing. And if you're oblivious to that because you stare at your fucking smartphone, fuck you. I'm not saying there's anything you can do. I don't know. And really, this isn't the right podcast to talk about those types of solutions. I have had conversations about solutions, one of which is to first do no harm. For example, if I'm going to go off on a tangent, let's fucking go all the way. If you're a lawn person, and I don't want to talk about homeowners associations, because those things can be changed, okay? And if you're living one of those, then get the fuck out. But if you own your home, you actually own it, and you choose to be a lawn person, to have a lawn that you either pour Monsanto chemicals onto or Dr. Jimbo's organic fucking pesticides, if you're dumping shit onto your lawn in massive quantities or minor quantities, you need to stop that shit. You need to turn your lawn into something that works with the environment around you, that doesn't consume a ton of water, and that you don't have to pour a lot of chemicals onto. And if that means you end up with a lot of weeds instead of actual nice, perfect grass, folks, you need to stop with that lawn bullshit. Because when 100 million of you motherfuckers are into that lawn bullshit, places like the Puget Sound become giant fucking toilet bowls. Now, so yeah, there are things we can all fucking do. I will tell you that I don't want to believe that Guy McPherson is right, but based upon the news I'm seeing, I fear he might be. So in the big picture, there may be zero you can do, except for, I think, have faith in God. And that by itself might be a lot. So next topic. I have joked about the idea of trying to convince every crocodile in the world, and when I say crocodile, I mean government. I have toyed with the idea of what if we could convince all the crocodiles to not wage war for 2 weeks every year. I know that sounds crazy, folks. You might make money as an employee of Raytheon or Boeing or General fucking Dynamics or fucking, I don't even know, Pratt and Whitney is still a thing. You might currently be on active duty, so your entire raison d'etre is going, working for the crocodile and setting shit on fire for the crocodile. What I would tell you is, wouldn't it be great if for 2 weeks out of every fucking year, human beings en masse, as armies, and I would even argue individually, did not murder or maim or rape or steal or abuse each other for 2 weeks every year? I don't know if I could get people to do that. I don't know if people could actually, for 2 weeks, give up on their venal desires to have everything they deserve and to treat human beings as obstacles to that goal. I don't know if we could get 2 weeks out of all the people on planet Earth. But imagine if we could. 2 weeks where nobody murders another person. 2 weeks where nobody beats a person up. 2 weeks where no one's tortured or imprisoned or enslaved. 2 weeks without rape. 2 weeks without setting people's fucking homes on fire, either individually or with people in fucking uniforms that match. 2 weeks. I truly don't know if it's possible, and I don't even know if people give a fuck. But I can tell you, I think it would be amazing. Now, here's what I want to talk about. Before we get to convincing people that lawns are stupid, before we get to the point that, you know, we can actually have 2 weeks without war, before we get to that point where we're staring in the mirror on some hot August night and saying to ourselves, is this it? Did we kill the Earth? Did we fuck it up this badly? Was I one of the stupid fucks who didn't listen at the right time? Folks, I'm 50 years old, so by definition, if the world has become a shithole in my lifetime, I'm partially responsible for that. I don't know. Back in the 90s, I could have taken different paths. I could have wised up. I could have been a smarter person back then. As smart as my nieces and nephews are mostly today. Wise up to the world. I should have done that. But instead, I believed a lot of the bullshit that I was told by professors and politicians and Federal Reserve bankers. I wish I had been wiser in my 20s. I believed the bullshit about how it's all global cooling and we're heading into an ice age. Folks, the Arctic Circle is on fire. That also means, and I don't know if you know what an accelerant is, okay? But when, like, someone who's an arsonist sets a building on fire, they'll use an accelerant, like gasoline, to accelerate the burn. Folks, the Arctic Circle is also the home of permafrost. And what does permafrost contain a lot of? Decaying material that becomes methane and a lot of frozen methane. A lot of methyl hydrates. So basically, we have these forest fires around the Arctic Circle right now, in Siberia, in Alaska, in northern Canada, in Greenland. All around the Arctic Circle, there are wildfires. But those wildfires are also being fueled by the methane that is basically being melted off. That's bad. That's pretty bad. And there might come a night, some night next month, especially if Dane Wigington is right about the whole geoengineering thing. And I really don't know that he is, but frankly, it looks like he might be. Then they might also be losing control, and there might come some night, some hot night next month, where I'll tell you on a podcast, I think we're done. I think we're done. I think if we're lucky enough to make it to winter this year, I think Guy McPherson might be right. I think next summer, that's it. Now, of course, I hope I'm wrong. And actually, I think I'm probably wrong. Because the next topic is why I hope I'm wrong and I'm probably wrong. If you guys don't know this, because I don't repeat it 50 billion times, I believe in God. I believe God is just. I believe God is kind. I believe God is infinitely compassionate. But, you know, I don't think God cleans up all of our mistakes for us. And I also think that based upon my reading of the Bible thus far, God gives us plenty of rope to hang ourselves. That's called free will. And being as wise as we humans are, give us 5 minutes and we will be committing terrible acts against each other. You know, God could save us and 5 minutes later, we're sinning. But I do believe in God, and I don't believe that God wants us to boil like, you know, New England lobster. That's what the scenario is. If the temperature becomes uncontrollable, if we enter Venus syndrome, you're going to get more water in the atmosphere. The wet bulb temperature gets to 35 degrees Celsius or higher everywhere on Earth. And we're done. We're boiling like lobster. And there's nothing so far that I've read in the Bible or I've meditated upon that leads me to believe that that's part of God's plan. So here's the part that I... Here's this other topic we can discuss. And I don't know how I'm going to do this, but I'm just going to say it out loud. I'm just going to say it. I want us once a week. And again, if you're not religious, then all you really need to do is just be quiet and meditate on this. You don't have to do the religious act. But what if once a week, from now until we die, what if once a week we say, Lord in heaven, thank you for this life. Thank you for this earth. Thank you for the air, the water, and the soil, and my free will. Thank you for allowing me to own my life, to have this beautiful world. Please give me the grace and wisdom, Lord in heaven, to be wise about the air, the water, and the soil. And Lord in heaven, grant us peace. Help us to find peace. Lord in heaven, Help the warrior heart to heal. Help us to heal so we don't go around killing each other any longer like we have been. Lord in heaven, help us to heal the earth so we don't treat it like a fucking toilet bowl. Now, I'm not saying you should swear in your prayers. I'm not saying you should do that. I don't swear at the Lord when I pray, but what I'm asking all of you to do is once a week until you die, to somberly say, either meditate upon it because you're not religious, or to pray in the way that you feel comfortable to God and say to the Lord in heaven, help us to find peace. Help us shine a light for us. We're sinners and we are murdering each other. We're sinners and we're murdering. We're destroying nature. We're destroying life on earth. We really are. Unless you're fucking stupid, we are. And I don't want to play the blame game. As an anarchist, I'll tell you that my answer, and really it's not knee-jerk, I've thought about this, my answer is simple. More crocodile means more problems. If you want to know where Keynesian economics came from, all this pulling demand forward, how did another 6 billion people show up in 100 years, it's really fucking simple. Crocodile. Okay? More crocodile, and if you don't know what that means, more government equals more problems. If you want to actually heal the world, you have to heal society. And in order to heal society, we have to live like we were meant to live, and that's free. We were never meant to be in prisons. We were never meant to be treated like this. And so if we want to heal the world, folks, this is really fucking important. If we want to heal the world, we have to heal ourselves. And if we want to heal ourselves, we have to be allowed to live in the kind of human ecosystem where humans thrive. And frankly speaking, that's a free society with very, very little government, if any, and I would say zero. That is a voluntary society. That is a catalaxy. That is an emergent set of economic relationships. That's freedom. That is the human ecosystem. So if we're going to fix things, we need to recognize that. And I got to tell you, we need to stop this war bullshit immediately. All the fucking global dimming shit aside, we don't need to enhance aerosols in the atmosphere by blowing people up. We can stop doing that shit. Okay? We need to pray for peace, folks. We need to pray for the earth. That's my opinion. You may think I'm crazy, but I think the Lord in heaven wants to hear that we still want to be alive. Because right now, the human race is acting like it wants to be dead. So yeah, I don't know that I'm going to be good at this. I don't know. I'm a really shitty Christian, if you ask me. Most days I wake up and I have a shitty perspective on the human race. I have a shitty perspective on my fellow human being. The reason why I've been so tardy with podcasts in the last week is because I basically come home from work the last week with this general belief, this general feeling that we're nearing, well, for all intents and purposes, the practical end of the world. And let me explain what I mean by that. I don't mean death. Everybody dies. I mean scenarios where large volumes of people die at the same time. And it doesn't mean everybody's gone. But frankly speaking, if you're living in a time like the 14th century, for example, where half the people you know die, then yeah, it might not be the end of the world, but from a existential perspective, it's probably as bad or worse. So I don't know what to tell you, but as a really crappy Christian, as a sinner, as a human being that is an anarchist, but really in his first year of being one, fuck that up. I'll tell you, for now until the end of my life, I'm going to endeavor to say at least one prayer a week. I should say them every day. I should say them multiple times a day. But I will say a prayer every week to the Lord in heaven, asking him to guide us towards peace, asking him to guide us towards a relationship with this world, where the world itself, where this beautiful nature that we were given, isn't treated like a just, yeah, an ash heap, a landfill. I know that was a serious topic, so I'm going to go to the next one. Oh, boy. Yeah, I already talked about the topic's bad. Okay, so I was watching the movie Deep Impact. Ugh. I think Deep Impact came out in 1998, and the movie plot is this, and yeah, spoiler alert, fuck you. Deep Impact is a movie about an extinction level event, a comet hitting the Earth, and what the human race does to prevent it, and it's very sappy and very poignant. And like in most cases, and this is maybe the main point of this topic, have you noticed that in a lot of movies in the last couple decades, not only has the president been African American, but it's been mostly Morgan Freeman? It's almost like, and I don't know how to put this, but it's like Morgan Freeman's being set up to be the president, in 2024. Although he is getting long in the tooth, right? But every fucking movie, it seems like where there's somebody who's the president, and that whole fucking franchise of, fucking The Capital Has Fallen, Eagle Has Fallen, those fucking movies with Eric Bana or whatever, where he plays some fucking Secret Service dude and the White House is constantly being attacked. Morgan fucking Freeman is president. What the fuck? And dude, this isn't about him being black. It's just, it seems like he's always the president. Always the president. Yeah, so Deep Impact. Oh, if you've never seen it, I can't really recommend it. The only thing I would recommend Deep Impact for is a movie to get drunk watching if you're really bored and make fun of with friends. It could be a fun drinking game movie because every time there's a poignant moment, you have to drink. And frankly, with Deep Impact, there's a poignant moment every 15 to 20 minutes at least. It's so poignant. So fucking sappy. And the thing is, Morgan Freeman saves the world, I guess, but ultimately it has a happy ending. The world does not end. Well, I mean, lots of people die. So yeah, the world ends for a lot of people with the giant tsunami. But not Morgan Freeman. He's fine. Yeah. And then in that movie 2012, oh, what's his name? Who played the president? The guy from the fucking Lethal Weapon franchise? Glubber? Let's see. I'm gonna look that up. Look it up. Look it up! Lethal fucking Weapon. This is so much bullshit. Oh my god, there's a new Lethal Weapon. Fuck. Oh my god. Danny Glover. Yes, Danny Glover. So the movie 2012 that came out in 2009, Danny Glover was the president, another African American. So yeah, there have been a lot of movies in the last 20 years where the president is specifically African American. And that's fine, guys. We had Obama. I'm not really sure he was black. I'll be honest. I think in some ways I'm more black than Obama. So, wow, I hope I offended someone there. I really must say, as a radical supporter of free speech, if I don't offend at least two or three listeners, I'm really fucking up. But yeah, I think I'm blacker than Obama. And I ain't that black. But frankly, as a ginger, I ain't that fucking white. I mean, that's one of the funny things about being a ginger. Nobody likes you. That's why they always say red-headed stepchild. They don't say blonde, blue-eyed stepchild. They say red-haired stepchild or red-headed. Fuck. So much bullshit. Fucking blondes, fucking blue-eyed blonde, Germanic fucking white people of Denmark. The Danish people must be destroyed. The Danish people must be annihilated. Yeah. Anyways, Deep Impact's a stupid movie. I don't know why I brought this up as a topic, but the Morgan Freeman thing is interesting. He shows up in a few movies as president. It's almost like he's the ideal president. Ah, nuclear power and the lazy crocodile. Folks, this next topic is not very nice, and I've spoken about it before, but it's worth revisiting. If only because someone close to me, a family member, has gone off to the Navy and is probably going to be a nuclear engineer if everything goes right. So yeah, this topic's been on my mind. Nuclear power. What did Einstein say about boiling water reactors, which is the main kind of reactor we have in the U.S.? Boiling water reactor. He said it's a hell of a way to boil water, and he was right. Now, folks, the reason why we have these really dangerous boiling water reactors is because we like to make nuclear weapons. If we didn't give a shit about making nuclear weapons, we could actually have safer nuclear reactors. We probably could. We probably would have. I don't know if there's time left at this point to even give a shit. But yeah, we probably could have made nuclear work, maybe. But no, not the way we're currently doing it. But the way we currently do it gives us a lot of stuff, plutonium, for nuclear weapons. So that's good news. Here's the thing you all need to factor into your heads, folks. When you read these news stories about people going crazy, people going berserk, guess what? The nuclear power plants are not currently controlled by Skynet. Okay? And for any number of reasons, not least of which, the features of nuclear power are incredibly toxic to Skynet, okay? The types of radiation produced, okay, by these reactors fries electronics, okay? Listen, you need to research the number of robot attempts and what they've achieved at Fukushima. Those fucking robots are heavily armored and they don't last long. So no, then whatever you think about AI and the coming robot future, folks, currently the 80 or 100 boiling water reactors in the U.S. that we have are manned by people, and people get stressed out. Oh, I'll blow your mind further. People make mistakes. People order the wrong parts, and the more stressed out they get, the more fucking mistakes they make. And as they see their salaries frozen and their cost of living is increasing and their wife is divorcing them and their kids hate them and they drink too much, they make more mistakes. And the worst part about this is that other people could make mistakes as well. So even if all the nuclear engineers are really good at their jobs, it also means the people delivering, I don't know, backup generators need to be good at their jobs. And you say, well, Dan, why do I need a backup generator at a nuclear power plant? I would say ask the dead engineers at Fukushima, but they're dead. The reason why you need one is because if you're in a, I think the technical term is scram, but if you're in a situation where you basically are basically in a situation where you need to control the reactor, you need to basically insert the control rods completely, and let's say that you're off the grid, like during Fukushima, and you have no source of electricity from the outside, the backup generator is so you can power the water pumps. Now you say, Dan, why do I need to power the water pumps? Oh, shit. Because you don't want your fucking control rods to melt. Because if your control rods melt, and this is really fucking important, your reactor goes critical, it melts through the containment, and then when it hits groundwater, it explodes, like it did at Fukushima. Yeah, they had what's called a China syndrome. That's the worst case scenario, folks. That's a melt-through. Pieces of the Fukushima reactor, tiny microscopic pieces, show up all around the world. When that thing blew up back in 2011, it blew shit into the atmosphere. A lot of shit. A lot of really toxic shit. Oh yeah, sorry. Folks, when I say nuclear power and the lazy crocodile, what I'm really getting at is this. You are trusting that these essentially government-run institutions are going to work correctly. What I'm telling you is that shit's falling apart. And it's easy to not give a fuck about an order at a restaurant. Like, you know, a cook has a bad day and overcooks your eggs. That's a really sad tragedy, but that tragedy really is only an inconvenience. If nuclear engineers in a nuclear power plant have a bad day and they fuck something up, like, I don't know, ordering the wrong parts or not having a backup generator, millions of people die of cancer. Entire parts of this country become unlivable. And the ecosystem that's already taken lots of insults from the human race, guess what? It takes a fucking dildo right up the a-hole. So yeah, I don't know what to tell you, but folks, if you think the crocodile is going to watch over the most dangerous way to boil water in the best way possible, I don't know what to tell you. I really think one of the smartest things we could do would be to shut down every fucking reactor in the world right now. Shut them down. Because when shit starts falling apart, those things will cook off. They'll cook off here, they'll cook off in France, they'll cook off around the world. So, yeah, that's enough of that. Oh, my next favorite topic, and based on time, might be my last for this podcast. Are there any blockchain freaks out there? Listen, folks, this is what you need to know about me and the blockchain. I dipped my foot into that ocean a few years ago. I participated in an attempt at a startup. I wrote a white paper. If you want a copy of it, it's actually on my website at dfgtc.org. If you go to words, very hard to navigate there. But yeah, I wrote a white paper. I was going to branch either Ethereum or Bitcoin. There were a lot of things we were going to do, and it was one of these projects, and it failed. And businesses fail, and business relationships don't always work out. That's reality. You have to get over it. But this is what I'm going to say about crypto and the blockchain generally, okay? Number one, it's technology, okay? You need to fucking listen, especially if you're one of these crypto freaks. It's technology. It either works or it doesn't. If it doesn't work, I don't use it. That's number one. Number two, it's not a religion. If you're acting as if the blockchain and the whole decentralized thing, as if that fucking word means what people think it means, if you're treating that like a fucking religion, then yeah, I don't think I want to use your fucking coin. It's a tool. See point one. Number three, crypto is based upon this idea that complexity has value, which means that if I run an algorithm in a computer forcing it to do more calculations than necessary to solve a transaction, that has value. That if I create schemes of execution within a decentralized execution model of sharing information and memoization, aka the blockchain, that has value. And what I would tell you is what every computer science professor worth his salt would tell you. Complexity, although sometimes happens, is something you want very, very little of. All things being equal, the best solution is the simplest one, i.e. the one that has the fewest steps, the one that uses the least amount of energy. And sometimes you have to be a very clever programmer to make this happen. But very rarely do you say to yourself as a programmer, gee, I wish I inserted more, you know, fucking polynomial time loops into this fucking program. Only a fucking moron would do that. Or gee, I wish I had a random hash generation algorithm, and then I started chaining random hashes together, and then I had a distributed model, so lots of algorithms could chain random hashes together, in aka a Merkle tree, blah, blah, blah. I mean, folks, the blockchain is an attempt at decentralized transacted memoization. Great. Guess what? It's also, by definition, the most public fucking ledger in the history of the world. And listen, folks, if you think a public ledger like that is good for you, then you must think the IRS is good for you. I mean, I think there's something wrong with you if you think that's true. But really, if you think a massively public ledger where every fucking transaction associated to your public wallet key is stored for all fucking time, if you think that's a good idea, especially if you're an anarchist, I think you're stupid. I think there's something wrong with you. Furthermore, by definition, the blockchain is polycentric. It's not decentralized. Let me explain the difference. Decentralized means that chains of hierarchy above you do not control you. That's what decentralized means. That's not the blockchain. The blockchain is a polycentric tyrant. Okay? By definition, all of the blockchains within the network have to sync up in order for transactions to succeed. That means that you don't have one clearinghouse you have to clear. Technically speaking, you have N, N being a variable. You have many clearinghouses in a network within a voting scheme. And then you get to clear in a non-deterministic way, and every fucking node gets to take its cut through digital coin clipping. AKA, or also I would say, if you're doing very small value transactions with Bitcoin, guess what? Those will be very fucking expensive, relatively speaking. And really slow and non-deterministic. So that's the thing, folks. If I'm running a coffee shop, I want to get paid. I don't want to get non-deterministically paid. I don't want to get pseudo-paid. I don't want shadow pseudo-transactions. I want my fucking money. If I'm a fucking person at a coffee shop, I want my coffee. I don't want to wait for my coffee. I don't want a handshake and a non-deterministic scheme for my fucking coffee. I don't want to have to go onto fucking CoinSite and convert Ethereum to Dogmanium to Bitcoin to up the Budanium. I don't want to do that. I want my fucking coffee, and here's my fucking money. Folks, I'm a late adopter. I've said this with respect to technology. I'm a late adopter. I didn't even start programming computers till after 30. So if someone says to me, Dan, what do you think about Bitcoin? I have a very simple fucking answer. When it begins to work, when it protects my privacy, when I believe it's a real thing and not some bullshit, because folks, whoever or whatever Satoshi is, if he's underground for 10 years, that means he's better than fucking Bin Laden, if you believe that fucking story. Oh, folks, there are so many fucking lies you have to start getting out of even to get to the fucking truth. Yeah, Satoshi might be bullshit, folks. Satoshi might just be a name for a bunch of fucking programmers at Goldman Sachs and the NSA. That could be Satoshi. Oh, I'm sorry. And when we find that out, there will be apologists. People say, well, they were trying to save the world, and now we can have a Federal Reserve that works, folks. I'm telling you, I was at a conference where there were a bunch of Bitcoin barons. You know what the main topic was at that conference a couple years ago? Whose crypto will be chosen? You need to meditate on that shit if you're an anarchist promoting crypto. Whose crypto will be chosen by the fucking central banks? Because what that means is, if you have a crypto that's not chosen, uh-oh, I guess all the guns get pointed at you. Whatever the fuck that is, folks, that's not freedom. I am so sorry for shattering your view. So if you're making money with crypto, because let's separate topics here. Crypto or blockchain as a tool and crypto as an investment scheme. If you're making money trading crypto, I have the same thing to say to you that I would say to people who make money trading baseball cards, or who make money fixing up houses and reselling them, or who make money off of classic cars. Good for you if you're making money. As long as you're not harming someone physically, I kind of think it's stupid. I think it's a waste of resources. I think at this point in human history, burning lots of compute cycles to give birth to a coin is much less useful than figuring out a fucking way to save the orca whales. You know, kind of my opinion, to save the ecosystem. I'd rather see us use compute cycles to save the ecosystem than to generate another fucking coin. But yeah, if you're making money as a coin trader, coin flipper, coinologist, God bless you. But all that means is you've tapped into a scheme and you figured out how to make money off the scheme. That applies to the stock market, that applies to real estate, that applies to every crony fucking racket that really represents the heart of what's left of the U.S. economy. Oh, I don't know what to tell you, folks. I don't know what to tell you. Today is company picnic day. Maybe we should meditate upon that, if you think about it. Today is company picnic day, and I've got to think about this. So yeah, today is company picnic day, and I've already revealed my plan to the other people who will be at this Willy Wonka picnic that I have a strange idea of getting drunk on Margarita Supremes and grabbing a glass and stealing a fucking jet ski. I'm on the jet ski going approximately 35 miles an hour on Lake Sammamish. The time is approximately noon on July the 31st, 2019. I'm out on Lake Sammamish going 35 on the jet ski, one hand on the control, the other hand holding my Margarita Supreme. I'm heading for the Sammamish River. I know it's semi-navigable and it connects to Lake Washington. I'm on the Sammamish River. I'm weaving through the Sammamish River on my way to Lake Washington. I've got half my fuel left. If I make it to Lake Washington, I'm going to have to fuel up, I think, at Marymore or something. Yeah, so the plan is to go to Lake Washington, and then when I get to the locks, I don't know what I'm going to do. I mean, someone suggested going the salmon ladder, but that would be a real trick for a jet ski. I think if I could pull that off, then get to the Puget Sound, then I'd have to fuel up again. I'd fuel up at Shill Shoal, and I'd fill a backpack full of gasoline and cigarettes and other shit. I would stop at Shill Shoal and fuel up and fill up a backpack with little jugs of gasoline and cigarettes and bottles of whiskey. I'm in the Puget Sound now with one hand on the control of the jet ski, heading for Canada at maybe 25 or 30 miles an hour. One hand is controlling the jet ski, the other hand has a bottle of Wild Turkey in it. Yeah, I don't know if that's going to work, folks, but here's what I will tell you. If you read a story on Zero Hedge about some strange guy who called himself Dr. Freckles online and who formed a shadowy organization called Dr. Freckles Global Tontine Club, who tried to escape to Canada on a jet ski but was shot to death by 100 Seattle police at the Ballard Locks, if you read a story that kind of sounds like some 70s hero movie involving truckers or something. But in this case, it's a middle-aged fat software engineer who steals a jet ski, drinking a Margarita Supreme, being shot by hundreds of AR-15 rifles of the Seattle Police Department. If you read that story tomorrow on Zero Hedge, please just, you know, grab a 40 ounce of Old English, you know, or Colt 45, and pour one out for the homie. I hope you have a great day. Stay cool, man.